NARIC is your record industry knowledge network.
A quick word about NARIP. We are the biggest music business network in the world with 9 chapters, including here in Atlanta. Now in our 18th year, NARIP is the leading record industry organization for career development, education, and access in the business. We have a mentor network, a job bank, and search services for our members. We have an online store where you can purchase audio recordings of past NARIP programs like these, as well as form agreements, sample marketing plans, and other resources. We're grateful for our vital membership, which is increasing all the time, and we invite you to join NARIP, attend future events, and sign up for our mailing list. If you like us, follow us, like us online, love us. If you enjoy the event tonight, please tweet and Instagram at NARIP, at NARIP Atlanta, at Patty B. Good, at Chloe Maya, all appear on the nameplates. After our event tonight, we're going to be asking for feedback, and we'll give a $10 credit for your use in our online shop for the first 10 people who provide any feedback tonight. We greatly appreciate all feedback, and it helps us promote a better program and meet your needs and interests. If you enjoy the program today, please come out to more events in person or online. Upcoming NARIP in Atlanta events include ABCs of Music Publishing, Bands and Brands, and a performance agreement mock negotiation. We've got the performance agreement event on May 18th, as well as a music and metadata discovery tracking and payment course on June 22nd. A little bit about some of our past successes in these pitch sessions. We've yielded over 400 placements from participants to date, including some of our members here today. Just 2 weeks ago, NARIP member Billy Stanky landed a big placement in a trailer for Lionsgate film Deepwater Horizon, starring Mark Wahlberg, Dylan O'Brien, and Kurt Russell. Huge congrats. We recently had a placement from a session we did in Berlin. A song from our session was placed in a Vodafone campaign, which launched nationwide, a 6-figure fee. We also have local success stories like Bobby Drake, who is here and pitching tonight. He's had 20 original cues commissioned by VH1, and Simon Horrocks from Affix Music has placed dozens of tracks as well as a direct result from these sessions. So quickly, thank you to SAE for always having us. We love you guys. Thank you to Rich Stratton on sound, as well as all of our volunteers, Alicia, Ali, Sherry, and Kinski. The format tonight is I'm going to start with a couple quick questions, and then we're going to try and get straight into the music. We've asked everybody to do probably 3 tracks tonight. I think the way that we're going to do the format is we'll go through everyone 2 tracks first, and then once everyone's had a chance to pitch, we'll go for the third. We've got quite a big number of people pitching remotely via Google Chat. I think we've got 4 in-house today, so it'll be kind of back and forth. And it's going to be, I think we've got 14, 15 total. So it's going to be kind of quick moving, so you guys will probably get to it pretty quickly. So a little bit about Patrick. He's worked at 3 trailer houses covering a wide spectrum of entertainment advertising. He's played an essential role in projects ranging from independent micro-budget movies to summer blockbusters, including campaigns for The Help, Pain and Gain, Perks of Being a Wallflower, American Hustle, and The Hobbit. In addition to film, he spent nearly 3 years working with the Ant Farm video games department on blockbuster AAA titles in the Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty series, consecutively breaking the previous year's record sales. Patrick is a music supervisor with Ignition Creative, where he collaborates with artists, producers, and composers to create original, thought-provoking, and goosebump-inducing work. A few of his recent projects include Game of Thrones, Interstellar, Dope, Suffragette, Ballers, The Intern, Slow West, Dark Places, The Night Before, Concussion, and Tarzan. So please join me in welcoming Patrick. All right. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. First question. Everyone here wants to get on your search list, and they want to stay. How do they do that?
Hi, everyone. Hello. Thanks, everyone, for coming out. This is a big group. I'm excited to do it. Bear with me. I don't think I've ever spoken to this many people before, but I'm excited. Search list. I think the best thing that you can do in terms of getting to people like me who work on, I'm specifically movie trailers and previews and promos for TV spots. there's people that do this for TV. There's people that do this for in film. There's people that do this specifically for ads. So I'm just one small niche in the industry. So the most important thing I would recommend is getting in touch with a sync agent or a company that will administer and pitch your music for you. Because from my day to day, I probably get about 200 to 300 emails every day. And a lot of those are from people I know. A lot of those are in-house. And then there's some from people I don't know. And I think naturally we prioritize things by brands and companies that we're familiar with. So if you go to a reputable sync agent or a pitching company, I think that's the best way to get it to our ears, because they know that it's usually cleared and it's ready to go. It's already gone through the different approval from the artist, hopefully the master and the publisher, and then the people who believe in the music who are pitching it for you.
Perfect. Who are some of your favorite music libraries or sources that pitch to you frequently?
In terms of, like, let's do a, I'll start with a, like, a sync agent, which I just mentioned. There's one called Zinc Music. They work with bands from The Heavy to Glitch Mob to Steve Aoki to smaller independent artists and just songwriters. I love them for their variety, and they seem to know exactly what we need when we need it. They're one of my all-time favorites. And then in terms of production houses or music libraries, we work a lot with Extreme. They cover almost every genre. If there's a genre that hasn't been invented yet, they're making it right now. So Extreme's a good one. APM, huge catalog. But again, they have a little bit of everything. So if you think that you've got something that's a little niche, I think those are great places to start.
Okay. And music-wise, how much is it? How much, when it comes to you, it's already licensed? It's, you already get it, or you go out more and look for custom things? How's the breakdown kind of go?
For trailers, I'd say it goes probably 50-50. A lot of our campaigns, like Tarzan recently, was something that we worked with a composer hand-in-hand through the whole process. And I don't remember how many versions we did, but it was something like 19 versions, I think, before we got to the final product. And that's a very time-consuming process. And then other times they need stuff that's already written. You know, our deadlines might be 2 hours, so we need stuff that's ready to go right then. And it's either through the production libraries or through our friends and contacts at different labels that we work with.
Is a two-hour deadline pretty typical, or do you normally get a little more notice than that?
Most of my stuff is all due, like, the day of. Very, very rarely is it, hey, you got till tomorrow, take your time on this.
Okay, so it needs to be easy. Like, you need to have it, needs to be ready to go.
Unfortunately, a lot of the times it's such a fast-moving environment that if it's not easy, it's overlooked, and it's lost. And I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
So how do you prefer to receive music? Is there a preferred format, number of tracks, info, metadata that needs to be included? What's kind of your go-to, do this, and I'll definitely open your email?
Sure. This one's important. First one, I think, would be metadata. Make sure that your music is tagged with contact back to you or back to the label. If you can write who the composer is, who the artist is in the metadata, great. Definitely an email or phone number to get in contact with. That's huge. We still get a lot of just WAV files that, you know, we'll say the song will be tonight.wave, and that's it. And that's gone. That's in the trash already. That's universal. Anyone's going to probably tell you metadata. Two, I personally, this is where it gets a little different. I love links. I love links to my email. MP3s or AIFs tend to bog it down. Links that don't expire, so I can always go back to it. And ideally, something where we can stream the song and download the song. The more options, I think, the better. And that can be through Dropbox or Box or a few other companies that do that. We'll take SoundCloud links and stuff like that. But if there's 10 songs on it, we're not going to want to go through and download each one individually. In terms of song numbers, If I send out a search or a brief, I'm very specific, and I want like 3 to 5 tracks, because we just don't have that much time. You know, everyone believes that they have 15 awesome tracks, but maybe not for that specific project. So 3 to 5, short and sweet, and I think that leaves more of a lasting impression too.
Okay. So if it's more of like a cold call email, it doesn't come through an agency, or a music house. It's just kind of a random person. They got your email. They want you to have their music. Anything that they should say in the body of the email, like introduce themselves, any bio, is that of interest? Maybe like social stats, or you really just want the tracks?
I think definitely any sort of write-ups or that blogs have done about your music or placements that you've had in the past or people that you've worked with in the past, any bit that you can include there is very helpful. We don't need necessarily your life story, but just very like, you know, bullet points of why someone would believe in your music. And, you know, especially if it's somebody that you've never had a working relationship with, because that's honestly the toughest thing. I know a lot of people that just don't even pick up the phone anymore, and it's sad, but, I'd say probably maybe one out of every 7 or 8 cold calls I'll pick up.
Got it. So once someone in this room has gotten their music into your hands, what's the next step? I would imagine you don't want someone emailing and calling you 5 times a day to follow up. What's kind of the best etiquette?
Sure. Like I said, you know, we get like 200 plus emails a day, and so a lot of that stuff can get lost. But if you're the artist and you're pitching your music, you want to be up to date on what's happening with it, and I understand that. I think if it's going to stick, you're definitely going to hear about it, because that goes on any of our cue sheets, and our licensing department will be in contact with the people. Otherwise, I would say probably every 2 weeks, and that would be probably the most frequent. Any more than that, and it's just going to see kind of needy and pestering, I think.
Got it. So before we jump into the music, just one quick question kind of about the team you work on. Could you kind of describe that for us a little bit? Is there a team that you work with?
Sure.
If someone here couldn't get in touch with you, is there an assistant or like a counterpart in your office that they should know about?
Yeah. So the company I work for, Ignition Creative, has about 250 people at it. We're, I think, the second biggest trailer house, definitely in Los Angeles, maybe in the world. But the nice thing about such a big place is that our music department's bigger than most, too. We have 6 people total. That's our music director, myself as a supervisor. We have another supervisor, music coordinator, music assistant, and then we have an in-house composer as well. I can give you, when you guys are, like, we all have our individual emails, but we also have one that goes to all of us, so the more eyes on it, I think the better. But in terms of like the team and how we pitch music, a lot of it is music that we're given from labels and publishers and third-party pitching companies. We all catalog it differently. Some people use iTunes. Some people on a Mac will just use Finder. And we try to upload all the production music to our server so it's always there. And then we work with the editors and the producers on a project-by-project basis. So the music starts with us. It goes to the editor. If the editor likes it, the producer approves it. If the producer likes it, it goes to the client. The client likes it. The client's boss likes it. So it's a long process, but it starts with us. So I think as soon as you get your foot in the door, you got to step up.
Perfect. So jumping into music, as I mentioned, we've got 14 people pitching tonight. Prior to the session, they were given 2 briefs of music needs you might have. Do you kind of want to quickly run through what both of those are? And then when we have people kind of step up, introduce their song, we will have them tell us which brief they're going for.
Sure. I sent out 2 briefs, and if you're pitching music tonight, it doesn't necessarily need to stick to those briefs. But one was the we did the Interstellar campaign in my office. I think we were one of 3 companies that worked on that project. But the thing that they kept going for is an orchestral piece of music that just builds and builds and builds and builds and then builds some more. And it just seemed to never end. And a lot of people will think that a song, you know, it can't possibly grow anymore. And when it crescendos, a lot of the producers and editors will go, well, where's the 4th gear? Where's the 5th gear? And that's the kind of music that we were looking for. It had to walk the fine line of being ethereal, wondrous, but also epic. It is a very small window, especially when you work on that. We worked on that for over a year. A 2-minute trailer that took us over a year. So I think we ended up pitching at least 700 orchestral tracks or something like that.
Jeez. Okay.
Sorry. Tangent.
That was one, correct?
I'll get over it eventually. It's fine. That was one. Two, and this is something that's huge in trailers. It's hip-hop. Hip-hop that's good. Hip-hop that's different. Because now, almost any campaign that you work on, no matter if it's comedy, if it's a drama, if it's an urban drama, it's a sports movie, there's going to be a hip-hop option. They'll try to run the gamut of, you know, we need something indie and fresh. We need something just percussive bass, but there's always a hip-hop option. The problem that we run into is that the clients want hip-hop, but they know Kanye West, they know Jay-Z, and they know Eminem. And that's about it. So it's really tough to break that mold and trying to say, hey, this isn't one of those artists. This is going to be a more affordable artist. But they can also, you know, accomplish what those artists are accomplishing. I think that there's a reason why those three are continually referenced is because they bring more to their music than just a beat and then a vocal track. So we can get into that, but that's something that I'm always looking for. Anytime you can incorporate more elements to a hip-hop track to make it a hybrid of whether it's rock, hip-hop. I hate saying rap rock, but every once in a while somebody still throws that out. So, yeah, that's it.
Okay. So our first person pitching tonight is actually here. It's Renald Francoeur.
All right.
Hello. How are you?
All right, thank you.
Perfect. So a little bit about you. You are a Haitian-born, Brooklyn-raised singer, songwriter, producer, whose music has been featured in ad campaigns for brands like Capital One, Dasani, Geico, Microsoft, and Coca-Cola. It's also been in films like American Reunion and Neighbors. In TV, you've had stuff placed in hundreds of cable and network shows, including Glee, Shameless, Big Bang Theory, CSI Miami, Nurse Jackie, Pretty Little Liars. Also the owner of Skybound Entertainment, a boutique music production and publishing company representing hundreds of talented composers, artists, and producers worldwide. So congratulations. That's quite a long list of accomplishments. So what is the first song you want to play for us tonight? Okay. And which brief was this in response to? So the hip-hop brief? Okay, so brief to you. And
just so I don't sound like a complete dick as I'm going through this music, I'm going to try to, because we have so many people pitching, I'm going to try to go through it as quickly as possible and hopefully that, you know, I can offer some sort of a critique or maybe nothing. Maybe it's perfect already. But I want to be able to get through everyone fairly. And so I may be scrubbing through your tracks. I hope that's okay. Also, I was telling some of the NARAP team on this earlier. A lot of times things move so fast in the editor's bay that they might give a song 5 seconds. So you got 5 seconds to impress somebody. yeah. Starting with you, Renald. No. Well, so... Music supervisors, I think, tend to give it a little bit more time than that, but.
Okay, so track one, Orbital Impact.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, good stuff. Now, is this something that you've composed, or is this artist you have?
Two French artists, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Production team.
This is a good one to start with. Because I'm going to tear it apart. No, I'm just kidding. No, this one's great to start with because it's got so many things that we need that are already in place. The structure is really strong. It looks like the guys have studied trailers specifically. Because the move from score music to specifically trailer music is a huge jump, and a lot of composers think that they can make it. And it's difficult when you're going from 6 or 7 minute cues to 2 minute cues and trying to tell an entire story. But this one, my notes that I wrote down briefly, really strong percussion. That's something that people are always going to look for when it comes to trailers and the impacts, because you can throw up title cards, you can throw up the cast run, but keeping it sparse and huge keeps it impactful, and it did that really well. The strings did a really good job of keeping this cue wondrous and in that realm of sci-fi, like the brief said. And then around the minute and 30 mark, I think, is when there was the breakdown, and then it really broke out, which is great because that's when either the second act of the trailer starts or the third act. It's usually the intro, the middle section, and then the big back end is the third act. And then it walked the line of being both dark, the strings were wondrous, but then a little dark there. And it showed you that whatever the product was, whatever the film, that there were stakes, and the stakes were high. I think that this one would be good to pitch for films like Interstellar or Fantastic Four or a movie called Passengers that's coming out. It's really strong.
Okay. And what is the second track? Okay, and was that in response to either of the briefs or just throwing it out there? Okay.
Yeah, another strong one. The hybrid guitars are an interesting element when it comes to orchestral music, because a lot of the time I feel like they lend themselves to a younger type of film, or either younger or like an action/action comedy. Like when I started hearing this, I was thinking, you know, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something that still, you know, needs to be big and epic, but you know, that's got Michael Bay attached to it. So you take guitars, it's maybe a little younger audience, not something R-rated, but PG-13. The horn melody was really strong. That was my favorite part of the cue, I think. Another good breakdown with a big ramp up and rise. Like I feel like these guys have had some work in trailers, really studied them pretty well. So they're really good. The choir, maybe I'd try doing an alt choir with the females, just because that take, I think, actually made it seem a little younger than the rest of the queue. But that's a composer preference. So
beyond that, any other critiques you might have to make it more placeable, or you think it's pretty much there?
These are pretty much there. And with any artist in any queue, I think it's very important to have all the stuff ready to go, like we said with the metadata. But also, if you can have the alt versions, you know, no choir, no guitar, no lead guitar, and then ideally stems on hand too. I don't know. I'd say 95% of the projects we've worked with the past couple of years have had stems, whether it's a production song or a commercial song. They're starting to unarchive things from even the 70s and 80s now. So very helpful to have.
Great.
Nice work.
Yeah, thank you so much. Next, we are going to go to someone on the Google Hangout. Michael Keeley from Philadelphia.
Yeah, hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Perfect. So a little bit about Michael. He has Motor Scout Music Publishing, which is an independent music publishing agency started in 2015. He previously worked at Ultra Records and International Music Publishing, as well as Procter & Nightclub and Records and the Royalty Network, Inc., all in Manhattan. Motor Scout Music started with a desire to take risks, expose emerging talent, and develop songwriters and their skills. What is the first track you want to play for us tonight?
Reading both the briefs, I think I don't have something that's really specific to either one, but like I guess brief one would be the closest, and something that just kind of builds in anthemically. So I would go with an artist I represent called Cryptics. He's LA-based glitch hop producer, and the song is Slay It.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, cool, Michael.
Cool.
I think this one has my favorite part about this is the intro. The first act of this cue, I think, is a great start, whether it's an event intro or lead into to something. The marching band drums and like the marching line with some of the big drums and the synths, I think, is very effective because there's not a ton of that's done. And I think this falls into the Glitch Mob or even a little bit of Pretty Lights or Nero category. Anytime that you can add orchestral elements to an electronic cue, it's going to be good for supervisors. I think this one fits it because it is a little repetitive. I don't think that it's necessarily a trailer cue. Like I said, it could be used in Act One or the intro because it's got such a good build in the beginning. But then when it breaks out, it kind of plateaus for a little bit. I think the drums, if it's going to be given the trailer treatment, the drums can be built up, making them super huge and weighty. But I also like the vocal scratching, the vocal element. That gave it a nice extra layer to it. This is good for TV, for like Fast and Furious 17 or whatever they're on now. And I think it's the producer's onto something.
Yeah, thank you. I completely agree, and I think the thing that really caught me was the intro. Like you said, the first act, just the build up and the violins, and then the snares. So that's a one stop with me. So Master and Publishing Clearance. You know, he has a bunch of other content, but that one I'm actually getting some placements. Had done MTV doing a lot of advertisement with it. You know, just like high end automobile type stuff that I've pitched that for. Again, that first act type of piece. So the second song is, again, kind of off script, not with one of the briefs. And it's kind of more of a personal question to you, Patrick. Do you like, I have two other choices. One's like an electro pop in the style of like Churches. And the other one is, more of like a fuzz rock, doom rock in like Wolf Mother, Black Sabbath. What would you like to hear?
I'm totally putting you on the spot now.
Yeah, I want some audience help here.
The second
Doom Rock?
Doom Rock?
Let's do it.
All right, yeah. Cool. So this is a London, this one is Dawn, and it's a London-based fuzz rock group that, again, all in, one stop. And I hope you like it.
Thank you.
This one, fuzz rock is definitely going to have its own special place. I'd love to see the band live. I'm not sure that it's necessarily a fit for trailers. That being said, like the hook, a riff like that, I think is really strong and can be used as like a sports bumper or something for ESPN, Fox Sports, you know, just something on the intros and outros. I think that would work great. Not really my area per se, but that or an ad or something for like a Sons of Anarchy quick, you know, TV 15 or something. Anything that's a little swamp rock, dirty, gritty, I think that'll be good. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, I completely agree. And, you know, I've been pitching that to Fox and ESPN, been getting like really positive. I actually did pitch that over to Trailer Park and one of the guys, Brian Vickers, and he was really cool about it. And he was, you know, showing a lot of interest to that. But I completely agree with you. I think it like Sons of Anarchy, it's terrible that it went off the air, but I think it's a great, great suggestion. And I think you're right that like the promos for like something that has attitude and stuff like that. So anyway, that's it. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for listening.
Actually, going on Michael's point, if you have a song and you're not sure or you don't have a lot about it or it's an artist that people don't know, if you list a few songs or programs or trailers that you think it would be good for, that's always helpful. So if you said something like, hey, this fuzz rock track by Elephant Tree is good for Sons of Anarchy or I don't know, American Pickers, I don't know, you know, sports promos, that always helps us out too. Because little things like that you remember and you categorize, whether it's an email or your iTunes, so. Thanks, dude.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
So just kind of a side note, for a suggestion like that, like maybe it would be good for something like a Sons of Anarchy or a sports bumper. How would you suggest people go about finding who the right people are that they should be getting in touch with?
Whew. That's a tough one because I don't know those people.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll have to think about that. I'm like one track mind on trailers.
Okay. Fair enough. So next is Google as well. Jeff Kingfisher from L.A.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm hanging in, thanks.
So says here that you are a composer, lyricist, arranger, producer, and recording artist. Several tracks from Visa Pieces? How do you say that?
Vesica Pisces.
Oh,
most of the tracks
yeah.
that I sent are from the Moon to the Earth,
mm-hmm.
which is my latest project, a 21-piece song cycle.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Also says you're also working now primarily from your studio in L.A., Goddess of Mercy.
That's right.
Perfect. And also working on an album with Serbian singer and lyricist, and
Dalibor Banović. I'll help you with that one.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. And a collection of Artful Pop.
That's right.
Perfect. So what is the first track we're going to listen to today?
Okay. Well, first of all, these have nothing to do with the briefs. I didn't know what they were until after I signed up for this. And I also wasn't aware that you were so focused on trailers because this isn't really about that. Is that mainly what you do?
Yeah.
Is work with trailers. So I don't really know if I should even be here. why don't we go ahead and maybe cue up Nosferatu to
Let's
start.
Let's do
with.
It.
You might find something in that. This track is it's fairly long. It's close to 6 minutes long. It starts out cool. There's some sax and piano solo stuff in the middle. It's a live horn section and builds up towards the end. That's what's coming.
All right.
All right.
Rising with the waxing tide. Drawn to what's alive inside. Strokes and nods that I require.
does not weigh. Whoa, but life is wonder.
Skip around just a little bit.
No problem.
These events because they're such an eclectic group of music coming in from everywhere. But that's why I specifically like working in trailers, is because our projects switch up on the daily. Like I said, 2-hour deadlines, 3-hour deadlines. So we might do an epic action movie one moment, but then we go back and we work on a project like Wesley mentioned earlier, but like Bosch or even Nightcrawler, where we did like noir jazzy stuff. And something like this, I think, could be set like a good atmosphere, maybe more of as underscore, because it's not, you know, this big trailer cue, but there's still a place for it even in trailers. I think noir is definitely a good, anytime you got something a little noir, it grabs people's attention. Because a few years ago, jazz wasn't really being placed anywhere in trailer-wise, but Bosch and even the new, there's a new Marvel series coming out on Netflix that I'm not allowed to talk about, but
okay.
There's been some jazzy music directs. So, yeah,
that's cool. I have several different forms of jazz floating about, so that's good to know.
Okay.
That's good to know.
Cool. So what's the second track you'd like us to check out?
Why don't we check out Tellurian Passage? And this is a piano vocal. It's kind of, well, you were looking for goosebump inducing, so I thought I'd try one of these. It's piano vocal. It's sort of otherworldly.
Okay.
And there's some interesting live flutes going on, bass flutes, actually, bass and alto flutes going on.
Yeah. born again into the skin, flooded to the fingertips with soul.
Jeff, I really like this one. I think this is it seems like a like an opening titles credits kind of song. The piano is unsettling and haunting, and that's something that I really like when it comes to trailers. But also for you know, I know they have all their music picked out, but like a show like The Leftovers or something like that for HBO. And if you can, it might even be something to deliver with both, you know, an a cappella only track and then a piano only track. I think you could work out something pretty interesting there, kind of paired together. We did the Suffragette trailer this year, and it was 90% a cappella track with a little piano and pads. And it, because it was so sparse and minimal, it actually ended up being very impactful. So, yeah, that was a great track.
Good stuff. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right.
So our fourth artist is in person. Yeah, if you'll come sit up front with us, please, while you make your way up here. Joy is an experienced business professional, raised in the church, singing gospel. Have a bachelor's, two master's, and a doctoral degree. Congratulations. Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's a lot of school.
That is a lot of school. And it looks like now with your business career established, you're trying to return to music, singing in song competitions, and just trying to get everything out there for other people to see your life story and maybe be impactful for other people. Perfect. So what is the first song you'd like us to play?
Now, I don't have anything that really fits exactly what you're looking for. I guess the closest thing would be the hip hop one. Never Too Old to Party, I guess. I'm not a real rap. I'm really a singer, but this is a little rap I did.
Okay.
It's kind of a think, gold digger Kanye West.
Sure.
Okay, so Never Too Old to Party and most in line with the hip hop brief.
Yeah.
Drop it low, cold like you never seen it. Bragging to your friends that your mama still can bring it. Tell them little boys old enough to be your mother. Show some respect, but they get themselves in trouble. When she drop it down, even give a little jiggle. Bring your daddy over if he dreaming and he single. She ain't 17, but she riding on that beat. And she never stop, I bet she popping in her sleep. Never too old to party. You ain't never too old to party. Never too old to party. I ain't never too old to party. Break it down, I shut eyes. Show me what you got. Put your back into it. Get it on the spot. Don't make me beg. Nah, moody and licks. When the beat drop, baby. Are you ready or not? 7 grandkids in a bun. Show me what you got.
Sorry.
Good stuff. When I first came in, I thought it was like teach me how to Dougie a little bit, and a little bit of Missy on vocals too. That was good. Good stuff. I like the double threat to rapping and being able to sing. It's great. In terms of trailers, I think you might be able to use it for like a 15-second bumper for like the beat's great, and then just the hook of Never Told the Party. Like, that's probably what you'd use in terms of advertising. Then again, in terms of context use, it could be good for a scene in like Neighbors 2 or Get Them to the Greek or something, where maybe people that are a little too old to party or party. No, good stuff though.
Okay, so I'm torn between which other one to show for you. The other one, I have one that I was considering. It's more of a dramatic kind of pop feel. The other one is kind of a funky vibe. So I'm not sure. The funky one is something I guess you would think of like they could have played it Straight Out of Compton or something.
Okay.
But then the other one, like a dramatic, the hook we probably could use or something. So I'm not sure which one you have to choose.
Let's do the pop one.
Okay.
What's that one called?
Do You Object?
Trailers, this one's a little more difficult because I think it's lyrically so specific. That being said, that it doesn't eliminate itself because there are movies like I came out a few years ago. I think it was like The Perfect Man. It was about like a stalker, and it was kind of a darker take on like a love story. And you throw in a stalker into it too.
Oh, yeah.
But I really like the orchestration on the chorus. I think everything just needs to be beefed up a little bit. The drums need to hit and they need to resonate, you know, beef up the horns if you can, and maybe get some really strong string samples. Because I feel like, yeah, the orchestration's right and I want it to pop. I think it's like 60% of the way there right now. Mm-hmm. Hope that helps.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And y'all can't see it, but she has a super dope picture.
Yeah. Thanks, Joy.
So we are going back to the Google Hangout for Heidi Masson from Houston.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for joining us.
Surely.
So Heidi is an EDM artist, trained in classical and contemporary piano since age 8. She is previously the executive director of our Houston branch and helped launch the Springboard Music Fest. She attended her first DJ camp, co-founded by DJ Paul Oakenfold, at the LA Film and Recording School last year. Her latest release, Show Me What You Got, features multi-platinum Grammy-nominated songwriter from Houston, Tammy Luttrell. What song would you like us to start with tonight?
I'd like to start with a song called The Rose Lullaby, which may or may not fit for, I guess, the Interstellar piece. And if it doesn't, at least you'll get to hear it.
Okay.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you.
I think this one definitely seems like it's more built for like an ad because it's a classical piece of music. I don't know that it has necessarily the trailer build for like a big blockbuster, but then again, it could be like an art house drama, one of those like a trailer where they cut out the dialogue and sound effects and just have the music play. And mm-hmm. the people are talking, their mouths are moving, but you're not hearing anything. I think it could be something like that for a smaller studio. And if you get the right editor, you can do that and have it play out for the entire 2 minutes. It can be very effective. I would say that or ad probably is where I'd place this one.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And the second track?
The second track is an artist of mine. It doesn't really fit, I think, for either one, but just to hear it, it's called Everybody Dance, and it's more along the line of electronica, pure electronica.
Okay, thank you.
Electronic, 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 electronic.
Thank you.
Thing with EDM is that because I think it gets repetitive, I think it's a good act two kind of or middle section cue, this is a good time to be an electronic artist or producer, because with people like Diplo and labels like Mad Decent and Ousla, a lot of that stuff's being used, whether it's a Project X film or we use some in like Scouts versus Zombies. But I say act two because the repetitiveness actually lends itself to like an exposition type time in the trailer, where whenever they're, here's the goal, here's the characters, here's what we're set out to do, let's go accomplish it. So that's where I'd probably pitch that for.
Okay. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
One thing I wanted to note, in her songs, Heidi kind of broke down, you know, key parts of the song you could keep an eye out for. Is that something you think is helpful when people are sending you music?
Absolutely. I was just subconsciously going through and making notes. If you have different sections of your song, whether there's a breakdown or an epic build or something that you want to note, that if somebody's spending 5 seconds on, they might miss it, I would definitely... you don't have to know the entire song, but maybe two of your favorite parts or something that you think that people really need to hear.
All right. So our next artist is Andy Mercury-Shan from London. He is not able to make the hangout with us, so I'm going to kind of be pitching on his behalf. He's a pretty established, well-accomplished musician. He put out his first vinyl in 1975, and will have his second full album with his current band coming out next month of this year. He's been a traveling and touring musician straight out of high school. He writes currently for TV, mostly children's shows, including Global Phenomenon Teletubbies. The latest show he's working on is Twirly Woos. And so, yeah, he's currently in a band, Three Bucket Jones, and as I said, their second album will be out next month called Take These Ghosts. He lives in South Wales, and he's given us four options. Any two that look particularly interesting to you? Based on
definitely
the
number three.
Yeah.
I'd do three and probably one.
Okay. So the first song is called Believe.
Up when the cards turn up, when the moon is right. Everybody tells me everything's gonna be alright. You just got to believe.
I might go through Andy's stuff a little quicker just because he's not here and you guys are. But this one, going off of the last point, this one's a good one to note where the gospel choir comes in, because I think that for trailers it was a little the strings were nice but a little meandering at first, and it's, you know, when a song's as slow as that is, I feel like that's more of an in feature or in film type cue. For a trailer, it's hard to move along a story when, you know, BPM's that slow. But personally, I love any time you can include a gospel choir. So that's something that I think really adds a new element to the cue and definitely helps build the back end to this bigger place than the first act or second act.
Okay. So that was Believe, and that was actually by another artist called Equilibria. The next track, Burned Alive, is Andy's band, Three Bucket Jones. Oh, Burned Again, sorry.
My heart is in the fire, the fire. Fire of love, my heart is in the fire, the fire, the fire of love, and I'm gonna get burned, gonna get burned, gonna get burned.
Running from the start, spin the lover spectrum, open me.
My heart is in the fire, the fire. Fire of love, my heart is in the fire, the fire, the fire of love.
I don't love shelter, time after time after turning from the humdrum, spinning to the start, run the love spectrum.
Honest, I think that one's a little going to be tough for me to place in anything. I don't know that an editor would really grab onto that cue, because it's a little easy listening and soft rock even. And it's just love's always very specific theme. So that one, yeah, I have to think about that one a little bit more, but that's a tough one.
Okay. Other than the thematic elements, any other critique that might make it more placeable?
Some sort of dynamics to the cue, in terms of starts, stops, stop downs. Yeah, additional elements, whether it's strings or bigger beat, maybe.
Okay. Thank you. Next artist is Joe McGowan from Charleston, joining us via Hangout.
Hey there.
Hello, how are you?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, thanks. So, thanks for having me.
Okay.
Thanks for being here.
So Joe is a singer-songwriter, keyboardist, whose music draws from classical, jazz, bluegrass, gospel, R&B, and country genres. Began playing piano by ear at age 2 and then did formal lessons at age 6. Went to South Carolina Governor School for the Arts in piano performance during high school. Says a lot of your songs are heavy piano improv. And your debut album, Dirt Road, is a compilation of songs written on your grandmother's piano over the years you spent finding your voice and following your passion.
Yeah, I need to update that bio. But anyway.
It's totally a good bio.
I have two songs I think that are going to be a little off brief. They're definitely not hip hop, but I think they're more in line with brief number one. And I think a lot of my music is anthemic Americana, so it has like an uplifting quality. And I do use a lot of gospel in my music. So I was thinking that maybe we could start off with Helium and start off at 229, because that's really where it kind of gets interesting in terms of the, I think that's where it sort of builds, if that's okay with y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gloves don't fit me no more. Don't let me heat. Let me go. I should so.
To the point of where it breaks out, I feel like something like this would kind of belong in a show like Nashville, because it does have the Americana feel, and the fact that it's uplifting, it has some positive vibes. You're definitely not going to pitch for any dark or foreboding dramas. So I think that this is I think it's good, and this seems like a good TV song to me, and definitely for in feature. I'm not sure that it's a promo or trailer, because they'll focus on the lyrics of Helium, and they'll try to see how that relates to the show, but I think in context it could work.
Right.
And then yeah, maybe even do an alt version that just has the instrumental with the background vocals too. I think that's pretty nice back end.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it.
The next one is a little bit different, but it's still very Americana. So I don't know how appropriate it is for trailers. I guess it'd have to be the right movie.
Okay.
Like one thing I was thinking about for this song would be like True Detective or something.
Awesome.
But I mean, that's, one of the shows that I like a lot too. So of course I'm biased, but anyway, sure. I want to give you another time marker, because it's kind of a long song. It's What I Got, and if you could start it at 3:05.
Okay.
I see.
Everybody talk about it. What I got, you gotta hold on tight. Make it right before the sacrifice.
Show. I think the part of the song where you called out, I think, starts right away. It develops a moody atmosphere and weight with the vocal layers. I think this is another one that I would maybe give a vocal track when you pitch it, maybe give the full version, instrumental version, and then one with just the backup vocals.
I have all of that available.
Great. Because like the Hey Hey Ya's at like the back end of the song were a really nice layer, and I think True Detective or like Walking Dead's a good comp for something like this.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. I appreciate your feedback.
Yeah, that one's good. Anytime you can have weight or that one, not darkness necessarily, but moodiness to an Americana song, I think that's huge.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. All right, guys, we're about halfway through the pitches, so let's take a 10-minute break. See you back here at 8:48. All right, so we are going to get started and jump right back into it with our next artist, Stephen Morrison, also known as Bobby Drake. He is here in person. Bobby is a one-stop music shop. From his start in 2003 until now, Bobby's been amazing the world with his unique sound and versatility. His dedication has landed his production on over 30 TV shows from MTV to NBC. He's produced countless records and electronic dance remixes for various indie artists and has become the main producer in the up-and-coming dance pop phenomenon Beat Geeks. While showcasing his polished sound in the genres of hip-hop, rock, and EDM, he caught the attention of industry heavy hitters such as reps from G-Unit, Akon's Convict Music, Atlantic Records, as well as the Grammy-winning production crew Justice League. Bobby and his group The Beat Geeks placed songs on Style Network's XOX Betsy Johnson and in the season premiere of Tia and Tamara. VH1 commissioned Bobby to compose 20 tracks for original programming, and he's enjoyed multiple placements with these and other songs since. What is the first song we're going to hear tonight?
The first song is Can't Stop. It's featuring a hip-hop artist by the name of King Scooter. Brief one the most.
Okay, so Can't Stop, fitting Brief One.
Your Highness, I want it all, ain't no losing on my list. These haters can't stop this. Yeah, I've been the king, second place, ain't no option. So look who just dropped in, defying that frame. These chickens just flocking, they soaking in toxin. I hit them just once and they come back, no problem. I know that you like me. The being in that status is pretty enticing. Who really dislike me? Just come to my city and ask them to fight me. The school just frightening. They stay with the hammer, they sounding like lightning. Boy, you can't stop me. Too much of the swag, I can't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop now. Can't stop, won't stop now.
Can't stop, won't stop now.
A king on his throne, no options assigned, mate. I'm making this my shit. I hustled again like you reading the fine print. You still with that bullshit? We chasing the money like that to get all of it. I eat of the blood like a pellet off. We flooding the streets, red jackets off. I murder the beast, eat the hardest off. Too much in the business, I let it off. Like an after show, turn them cameras off. On the post, man, how I ship it out. Cause King Scooter bigger than a boss. I can't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop now. Can't stop, won't stop now. Can't stop, won't stop now. Can't stop, won't stop now.
Okay, cool. No, it's all good. I mean, it sounds like you've already kind of got your hands in, like, the TV placement world. So I think that this is another one that falls into there for sure, with kind of this, like, you know, emergence of, like, a trap and house starting to be in marketing. I think something like this fits really well for, like, a Ballers campaign. Like, it reminded me of that song that I think I mentioned in one of my briefs, but Yogi's Burial, which, like, he put a clip on his YouTube. He had like 30 placements for that song this year. It just landed everywhere. Ballers was one, and maybe I think Entourage was another. So anything with a lot of confidence, you know, swagger is a term that's thrown out every day. But something like that where it's either, you know, something that has to do with A, partying, B, sports, or C, even just like skyline shots of like L.A., Miami, Chicago, whatever. But I think that works in all those aspects, so nice.
Okay. Revolution Brief 2.
This is definitely like along the lines of like trailer production music when it comes to Epic Electronica. Another good intro or setup or like event type cue. Definitely an act one type thing. I think the nice, it sounds like the drums were organic, whereas the rest of the cue was like electronic, and I thought that that was kind of a nice juxtaposition. Anytime, like I said, drums are always super important, so bigger the drums, the better. I guess my only critique with this, I think, would be on the strings. Either I think you should commit fully and go just a full synth layer, or go get better string samples and make it very orchestral. Perfect. I think that's the right move for sure. Like that was the I heard that and I was like, kind of a little synthy and a little, but yeah, if you get live, if you can get live players anytime, you know, because our editors listen to stuff on like $800 speakers, like they're getting really good sound quality all the time, and but yeah, I'd love to hear that when it's done too. It's good for tech, sci-fi, fun stuff. Maybe like that movie Chappie that came out last year with Deon Ward. Cool.
All right. Thank you. Our next artist is Kenny O from London, joining us on Hangouts.
All right.
Hello.
Hey, Kenny.
Hello, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. So Kenny is a female songwriter based in London. Looks like you enjoy writing mostly pop songs. And the overall goal would be to write for other artists to record and release and possibly get placements in movies, trailer, games, and TV programs?
Yes, right.
Perfect. So what is the first song you would like us to listen to tonight?
So this one is called The Earth Sound, and I will say it's slow burning, epic, and could be quite close to the second cue. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Kenny.
Thank you.
This one, it's great. It starts out beautifully lush and immediately kind of shows you this atmosphere, this beautiful panoramic. I think it would be good for something like Tarzan, like we worked on recently, or even like The Jungle Book, if they're doing, you know, a more serious sell. There was a moment, I think it was just a minute into the cue or so, where it started to do like a drum breakdown, and I thought it was going to break out there. Think that could be something that you explore as a potential alt track. But it definitely it reminded me of the artist I really like named Woodkid, and some of his kind of textural atmospheres with regards to strings and then adding huge percussion on it. Yeah, if you haven't checked him out, I would definitely check him out. Goes for everyone.
Okay.
Woodkid, he's incredible.
Okay.
Really nice stuff.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. What is the second song you'd like us to listen to?
So the second one, I wouldn't say it fits with either of the cues, but it's suspense thriller, and it sort of builds up into a climax as well. It will be like, thriller, menace. It's called Menace, so enjoy.
Nice. This cue is interesting because my praise is also going to be my critique a little bit. I think there are some really, okay, really good elements in here, from the music box to this like horror atmosphere, and then a pretty great rise in the back end. I just think that it seems like three or four really good ideas, sporadic ideas, but there's nothing really that ties them together to make it one coherent piece of music. So I don't know if you could develop that further or separate them all and have them be inspirations for new pieces. But I like the music box and I wanted to hear more of it, and then it kind of dropped out. And then the rise in the back end was great. I just thought it kind of came out of nowhere. So I think that there's a lot of good ideas there that can maybe be broken out or either developed further for one big cue.
Okay. Thank you so much for the feedback, Patrick. Thank you.
Thank you. The next artist is Camille Rudisil from LA joining us on Hangouts.
Yes, hi.
Hey, how are you? So it sounds like the tracks we're going to hear are from your band Carmina.
Yes.
Okay, which is you and your sister, I think?
Yeah.
Great. It says you have been featured in several film and TV shows, including Pan, Birth of a Nation, Lorax, Hive, Rain, Pretty Little Liars, Shameless, CSI, New York, Switched at Birth, and How I Met Your Mother. You guys have also toured the U.S., U.K., and Europe, opening for Sheryl Crow, Sarah Bareilles, Carole King, Train, and most recently John Legend in L.A. Your upcoming release, Queen of Hearts, pays homage to powerful women who have made an impact, much like you guys strive to do this year.
Yep, that's right.
Perfect. All Anything right. else we should know before we get into the music?
These next two tracks are for our next album, and it's being produced by a composer. His name is John Powell. So that's what we're working on right now.
Great.
Okay. What's the first track?
Following the Leader. I
right. Camille, was this written for Game of Thrones by chance?
Actually, no, but
it's got a lot of similar like lyrical themes, and it's definitely cinematic. I think that's a good universe for it to be in, for sure. Yeah, it's and anytime you can tie in lyrical themes of, you know, leader or especially like kind of a torn or dark hero as a leader, I think that's really strong. And this is a good example of like an artist that, like, if I don't know Carmina before, going with some of their placements and then working with a composer like John Powell is a huge perk for you guys. So I would definitely continue to let people know, because he's a great guy to have on your team. Definitely, yeah. Provides the cinematic atmospheres, whether it's with strings or you and your sister's vocals together. Yeah, I was thinking Game of Thrones, like the Snow White and the Huntsman universe. And then even if you guys are cool with pitching just another instrumental version with just your vocal oohs and ahs, I think that could do a lot for it too.
Yeah, we have that.
Great. We our last NARAP session, we worked with an artist and ended up using one of her songs for a trailer for The Loft, and she was cool with us stripping her vocals, and then she did like a little vocal layer for us and made a lot of money. So
cool.
Great.
Cool.
And the next song?
Fire All Over You. This one is, it's not complete. We're still working on it. But, yeah.
Okay.
Slowly, careful kiss, don't trust me.
Yeah, the vocals are supposed to be in that last chorus that we haven't flown them in yet. So
that's okay.
We added something to it.
Well, it's cool. It's I like the dark, sexy bedroom pop. It's good stuff.
New genre.
Yeah. I think when it's when it's mixed and mastered and finished, I think the bass will really pop through, kind of the sultry vocals that you guys have and the snaps. I think that's a nice element. And then I really personally, I really dug the electro elements kind of in the back end. That gave it just another, anytime you can add something like that, it gives a cue a little more it makes it more versatile. And an editor might be able to use that, strip it out, and then use it, you know, in the beginning of his cut, the middle of his cut, and then the end of his cut too. Because they just take your music and rearrange it everywhere and hopefully make it sound really good. But yeah, in terms of sexy dark pop, like London Grammar, Banks, I think this works for 50 Shades of Grey or The Loft, like the past movie I mentioned. I think this falls into that universe.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Got it.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
The next song is In Person from Jonathan. Says musician, producer, and CEO. Instrumentals from your production company have been featured in TV in the U.S., Brazil, the U.K., Mexico, and Canada. And you are hoping to kind of put everything out there for film, TV, advertising, and video games globally. Okay. Survival of the fittest.
This one, I think you're the kind of projects that you're thinking about already is where it needs to be. It, like, I wrote down dark biblical for, like, I'm thinking projects like Ben-Hur. They're doing a remake of Ben-Hur. Noah, Gods of Egypt, like all these movies that are kind of these like semi-historical epics. Like, that's the kind of universe that you're in. This one sounded like a lot like that, the artist Woodkid that I mentioned earlier. That's so really good cinematic atmospheres. I think it is an establishing first act, maybe second act cue. I don't think it takes it to where it needs to be for the third big act of the trailer. Not that it needs to be, but if you wanted to explore that, you know, you start bringing in some massive drums and stuff for the third act to really have it break out. But yeah, I think it's pretty solid as is for a first and second act.
Mm-hmm.
my notes was, I'd like it for the piano to drop out and have the strings go only, and that's what you did, like, the last 30 seconds there. It was good. I think you're right. Dark drama, haunting. The thing that I might do to this piece, it's your piece, so you can do whatever you want, but maybe add some sections for some breaks in it. Maybe have something like I mentioned where the piano drops out and it's just the strings, which I thought was very effective at the end. But maybe a part where there's only single key strikes, or, you know, just a quick ding, just by itself, let it sparse and kind of ring out, and then bring in the strings again. It's up to you, but I think when you have a piece that's haunting and dark like that, it kind of just adds a little extra unease to the piece. So, all right, good stuff.
Thank you. Going back to the Hangout, Stephen Buckner joining us from Michigan. Stephen has been composing music for over 30 years and describes the music as a channeling of cultural and spiritual events. He released an album in 2005 to help relieve stress during difficult times and to help people meditate, called Darkness into Light, Volume 1, Deep Meditation. His follow-up, Darkness into Light, Volume 2, The Classical Diaries, was released 10 years later in 2015, and actually 10% of all sales of the album are going to Feed the Homeless. His music's currently available worldwide on Amazon, iTunes, CD Baby, and most major online retail stores. In 2015, he was featured on Reverb Nation ranking in the top 10 U.S. classical and global charts.
Can you hear me?
Okay, we got you now.
All right. I'm going to go for a brief two. I have a track called White Lion. I think it would be potentially good for reality television as well as film credits.
You have, just on your descriptions here, I feel like you've kind of nailed it. It's procedural, like CSI type crime shows, investigative. I think that's exactly that universe. I really like the strong, like, pulsy intro. That stuff can, you know, that crosses genres nowadays, which is great. Editors like that. We did a lot of that for Selfless Campaign, with Ryan Reynolds' movie, and like Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal. Like, most of these movies, especially Act One, when you bring in introducing the character in the film, it starts with usually a pulse. They're not going anywhere. And then the back end of the cue kind of kind of came out of nowhere for me, the very end of it, but it was kind of a welcome surprise.
Yeah.
I feel like that could be attached to another piece of music too that is more kind of an epic orchestral piece rather than a crime investigative, but it was a strong cue.
Thank you very much. For my second track, I was kind of last minute here, but I'm going to do Escape. I kind of think it's like epic, more trailer-based, gladiator-type music.
Okay. This piece kind of fell between two categories for me. I couldn't tell which way I really wanted to go. It started out kind of slow and epic, and I liked the drums coming in by themselves, and I wanted to hear this like nice slow like legato string section kind of bringing it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the movement took over, I said, oh, maybe this is more of like an Elfman-type cue that's got a little bit of bounce, and it can still be, you know, dark, but it's a little more fun, whether it's like something Tim Burton-y or, and something that Elfman would do, whether it's Goosebumps or, you know, any movie Tim Burton's done. But it kept going. I couldn't tell whether or not it wanted to be that younger kind of dark adventure or if it wanted to be the dark epic battle. And I think if you slow down the strings, it becomes that more epic battle serious piece, or you add a few whimsical magical elements, keep the string movement as it is, and it becomes a little younger piece, but still works because there's always going to be that Earth to Echo and Goosebumps movies coming out. So
thank you.
Yeah, it's like all the right elements. I think there's two different ideas there.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Next, we're staying on Hangouts and hearing from Jessica Holmick from Australia with 6-6 Music and Black Butterfly Music. 6-6 Music is an Australian-based one-stop shop music production and music pub house specializing in dark electro, industrial hybrids, EDM, hip-hop, alt-pop, singer-songwriter, and indie rock, as well as hybrid cinematic scores. Butterfly or Black Butterfly Music is the newest division of 66 Music, producing gripping music for theatrical advertising and motion pictures. And it says that Jessica is currently heading up the licensing and publishing division for 66 Music, managing a large, diverse stakeholder group.
Hello.
Hi, Patrick. How you going?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for the introduction. I wanted to say congratulations for getting Best Song at the American Film Awards for Suffragette.
Oh, thank you.
Best. Yeah, that
thank
was
very
really
much.
Cool. I guess the first track I wanted to show you is a trailer-esque cover of Garbage's Crush, which was, I guess, made famous. Oh, sorry, I'm getting feedback. it was made famous, I guess, in the placement of Romeo and Juliet.
Nice.
This is a hybrid score. Our guys are traditionally... I guess classically trained turned rockers turned EDM producers, so this kind of elements of traditional orchestra, electro elements and rock elements.
Okay, great.
Sounds good.
Music playback has been removed for copyright purposes.
Cool. Yes, if you've been watching trailers, I guess, for the past few years, the dark haunting covers are definitely a very popular trend, and I don't think that they're going anywhere, because a cover is recognizable, which the client loves, and then putting a new cinematic twist on it is something that the trailer house loves. So it's kind of a nice merge. The first question that I think most people are going to ask is, have you guys cleared the publishing with this?
I've contacted each of the publishers. Sorry, I'm getting feedback.
That's okay.
Weird. I've contacted each of the publishers, and they've agreed for us to pitch it in principle, but still reserve the right to negotiate their fee and to make sure it's a good fit for the project. So I have, in principle, got approval, and in the metadata, I've provided an email and phone number, which is as close as I can get to a one-stop for you.
Sure. Okay, good. I mean, yeah. I think that if you... Anytime that you do a cover of the song, as long as the publisher is aware that it exists and they know about it, and especially if they're receptive to it, I think they're always going to, you know, very rarely do they sign off on the whole thing and say, yeah, wherever it goes, it's fine. But as long as you take that extra step and you make them aware of it, it saves a lot of time on the back end. Because there's been many times where people make great covers and... everybody will love it, the client loves it, and the band just says, no, no way. And then it dies. So as long as they're aware, I think that's a good start. Seems like a female Nine Inch Nails type vibe, which I really like. Industrial is big in trailers because of the hybrid elements. I think for a thriller, this could be really cool. The instrumental and then maybe just the vocal hook of I Would Die For You. And that's probably all you need.
Yeah, we've got the instrumental version and stems ready to go if someone wants to pick it up.
Great. Cool.
Yeah.
What's the next song you'd like us to listen to?
The next one is a collaboration with the same band. It's another trailer's cover, Sunshine of Your Love. So we've taken a Cream original and we've completely flipped it from being a kind of smug, suggestive rock track to dark and almost creepy stalker-like. So if you think, I guess, like Terminator, that kind of hybrid industrial vibe, post-apocalyptic, futuristic vibe, that's probably the closest.
Okay, cool.
Sound like that. Come on.
Music playback has been removed for copyright purposes.
Cool. I feel like because that one is so dark, that lyrically it's going to have to be for a horror movie specifically. I'm trying to think where else it could land off the top of my head. There's some really cool textural atmospheres and industrial elements in the cue. the part that I found a little tough was the chorus. I felt like the drums were kind of fighting the vocals in the chorus, and it felt like they needed to either be stripped back a little bit there or brought in maybe after each line, kind of like a call and response between the vocals and then the drums.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but good stuff.
Would you be open to me sending you a revised mix with that change to the drums?
Absolutely.
Cool. Very cool.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next artist is James Dennis from Houston with Rebel America, Inc. Rebel America, Inc. is a music pub licensing company based out of Houston, Texas, specializing in creating music content for visual audio media. And they offer an extensive catalog in a variety of genres. All materials are 100% pre-cleared and ready for immediate use. Hey, James.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Cool. What's the first song you'd like us to listen to?
Okay. Brief one, Jungle.
Hey, James.
Yeah.
You let me know what you want to do here, but I actually know that song because I worked with the Chapter Boys in the past.
Okay.
I've pitched it actually a few times. It's really good, and if we want everybody to hear it, we can listen to it now. Otherwise, we can do a couple of your other songs.
Let's skip it.
Okay.
Okay, let's go with Here I Come.
Superman, but I'm kryptonite so powerful I'd be surprised if you could stand. I never conform to the standard of human plans. I don't do what you expect of me, that just ain't who I am. I'm calculated the way I eliminate my foes like a UFO. The encounter's getting close. I'm a biotic electronic robot machine, crashing all your systems like nothing you ever see. Building up my body till I'm covered in steel. Advancing my technology and none of you will amount to what I've gotten. If you want, I can peel away your exterior, it's under your seals. I'm a juggernaut the way I'm plowing through your walls. You stuck in the past, but I'm running when the future calls. Like dark matter, I'm blasting all in my path. And not a million of you strongest could hold me back. Ooh, here we coming, ooh, here I come. Ooh, here we coming, ooh, here I come. Ooh, here we coming. Here I come, whatever you throw at me, it'll never be enough. I'm a mutant, how I use my wicked powers as such. My arrivals got them dazzled, causing kind of a fuss. Coming from the stars, I'm a space age conqueror, conquistador, bringing you things you never thought of before. I'm clearing my path, me, I'm the mad one, defy science. The doomsday clock, counting down like Mayans. I declare today to be a last in this earth. So I'm blasting you first, till you just ash in the dirt. And you can feel it flip as soon as gravity shifts. My here I come, whatever you throw at me, it'll never be enough. Ooh, here we coming, ooh, here I come. Ooh, here we coming, ooh, here I come. Ooh, here we coming, ooh, here I come. Whatever you throw at me, it'll never be enough.
Cool. Yeah, James, this is kind of that like swagger-filled hip-hop that I was talking about earlier. It's definitely, I think, the kind of stuff that we're looking for, confident with punch in the beat and also lyrics that are appropriate, whether it's for sports promo or a 30-second spot for like Central Intelligence with Dwayne the Rock Johnson or a ride-along or something like that. Is great. I think as a full song, the verses get kind of repetitive with the synth and the same beat. I don't think there's a ton of variety, but I think with the pre-chorus and the build of, you know, hear me coming, here I come, I think that's enough to get you like a 30-second spot, which can be pitched for, yeah, all those things I just mentioned. But it's good. You have the lyrics that cut through clearly for the chorus. You've got the swagger element, and you've got the punch, so it's good. Good stuff.
Okay, thanks. All right, let's go to for brief number two, Battleship 2013.
This one's interesting because I think the back end of the queue is where it started establishing really its own identity. To be honest, I'd be very nervous pitching this queue because it sounds so close to Clint Mansell's theme in Requiem for a Dream. Have you run it by a musicologist by chance?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I would probably get that one listened to just because even the initial like bass notes and then definitely the short string line, that's all I could think was Requiem. And because that's such a well-known cue, I think it gets very dangerous. But like I said, it started breaking out into its own thing at the end of the song, and that's where I believe it was strongest, to be honest.
Okay. All right. That's it.
All right, cool.
Thanks so much. So our final artist is Jerry Bonna with Chase Creative Group, joining us from Toronto. Chase Creative Group is a firm focusing on producing a smaller and manageable catalog that can provide supervisors with a trusted source of go-to music in crunch time. Hey, Jerry.
Hey. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Sounds good, Jerry.
Okay, so a quick question. Are you pitching three or two songs?
Two.
Okay. So the first one we're going to start off with is for Brief 2. It's in the Brief 2 folder, and it's called Melodies of Memories. And you can start it at 12 seconds, and then if you want to see the different changes, you can move to a minute 46.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Terry, it was like a score to a short film right there. I feel like there's a little bit of everything in that cue.
Yeah, there's a lot of variety.
Yeah, there really is. I think it's there's so many different parts of it that for trailers, as a trailer supervisor, I'm hearing in this section and I think, oh, okay, the solo vocal can be used to establish atmosphere, and then like there's a battle section with some like chanting in the middle, and then the back end is celebratory with some like Sigur Rós type piano and elements. I think it's a little too varied for trailers, but I think that this is the composer Varian, or the producer. Is that
yes.
who it is? Yeah.
Yes.
So, Small World, worked with him on the last Krill that we landed a placement for Nera. She recorded her last record with him. Okay. So I know he's very talented and got a lot of really good stuff. I think this one just has a bunch of different ideas that could really probably be separated and then expanded upon.
Okay, no, that's fine. I have two other strong alternatives, but I think we'll go with Never Forget.
Okay.
And we'll start at 30 seconds.
Q started out kind of delivering this, like, I know it's weird to say together, but kind of this epic ambience to it, and I was feeling that it was going to go the direction of like a M83 and Joe Trapanese type thing in terms of score. The drums kind of took me out of it a little bit, just because they had much more of a loungy feel rather than trailers. You replace that with some huge taikos and, you know, massive downbeats, and I think it adds a whole new weight to the cue. That would be my main note. And then if you could, in the very back end, just add some, either take that vocalist and kind of have these more angelic soaring vocals paired with this new added synth layer that comes in, like an M83 track. I think that's definitely more the trailer formula. This can definitely set something up act one or act two again, but I feel like this cue's waiting to build a little bit more.
Okay. No, that's definitely valuable feedback.
Great.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for playing it. I appreciate everyone being so patient tonight. I'm sorry if I repeated myself a bunch of times.
Yeah, I think you did mention earlier, though, you were going to possibly give out your email.
Yeah, I'll give out my email if anyone wants, and I will do my best to get back to you. No, I appreciate you coming out and listening to me rant for a little bit. So.
Okay, so before we wrap, any last-minute advice or tips on how someone here could increase marketability of their music, especially to trailer supervisors like yourself?
Sure. I think the main thing is watch as many trailers as you can. If you're really looking to get into trailers specifically, every Thursday, Apple Trailers has all new trailers. That's my world, and that's what I know, and hopefully can help you out there. Otherwise, I would get it, play it for as many people as you can. Anybody that's in the industry, other artists that have success doing it. That's where I would start, and then, yeah, start pitching your music to people that you think really believe in it. Obviously, you as the artist, or you as the person that's representing the artist, is gonna believe in it. But how can you convey that to a company or to another person who's, you know, I might already interact with on a weekly basis, or other supervisors might interact with? Team up with somebody that really believes in what you're doing. Because that'll ultimately help you, and that's the people you want to be with anyway. So I think that's it.
Okay.
Don't give up the hustle. Keep going.
Can you guys give a huge round of applause, please?
Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for coming, and thanks to everyone who pitched tonight. Quick note on feedback. We totally want to hear your feedback. We've put out some forms on all of the desks, and we'd love to know your thoughts. We're doing a $10 credit to use in our online shop for the first 10 people that give us feedback. We really appreciate it. If you've enjoyed the program tonight, please join. Joining now is the time. We will have MP3s available of tonight's session. They're $20 tonight before you leave, regularly priced $39.95. Our next date is Wednesday, May 18th. We hope to see you then. Thanks again for coming.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening. Join NARIP now and come to an event near you. NARIP. Get connected. Stay connected.